Good evening and welcome to the 7 p.m. news with me, Elizabeth Mbombone Agbo. In our headlines, the United Kingdom has promised to foster collaboration with Cameroon in the domain of agriculture and infrastructural developments. The revelation was made today by His Excellency Watwood, UK High Commissioner to Cameroon, in an audience with the Minister of the Economy, Planning and Regional Developments. On the heels of the World Toilet Day, the state of our public toilets remains a cause for concern about the notion of collective responsibility. Our Indel segment of the news delves on the matter. And on to sports, the National Federation of University Sports continues to sensitize stakeholders on the new format of university games to take place in four zones before the finals in Ebolova in 2026. Those were lead stories. Stay tuned for a full development. The Prime Minister, head of government, says Cameroon is committed to upholding the highest standards in the fight against money laundering and the financing of terrorism. Joseph Diongute made a statement today during an audience he accorded the permanent secretary of the Action Group Against Money Laundering in Central Africa, Congolese-born André Kanga. Star Building correspondent Christian Che Adam reports.
Since June 2023, Cameroon has been in the grey list of the Financial Action Task Force, FATF, the global standard setter against money laundering. The FATF grey list identifies countries with strategic deficiencies in their anti-money laundering and counter-terrorism financing systems. A rather bad place to be because it has significant consequences in a country's economy. It causes reputational damage, which can restrict cross-border transactions, make the obtention of loans difficult, and cut down direct foreign investments. The visit of the permanent secretary of the Action Group Against Money Laundering in Central Africa to the Star Building was therefore a high-stake visit. André Kanga and Joseph Diongute talked about the efforts Cameroon is making and must make to obtain a better FATF rating. André Kanga, permanent secretary of the Action Group Against Money Laundering in Central Africa. We want Cameroon to be removed from the FATF's grey list as quickly as possible. That is why we came to see the Prime Minister, head of government. There is need for everyone to put their heads together in order to ensure that things go well for Cameroon. The Prime Minister, head of government, Joseph Diongute, reassured the head of the Central African Regional Money Laundering Body that the government of Cameroon is making the necessary efforts to attain full compliance with FATF standards. A report of the country's progress will be presented during the FATF's International Cooperation Review Group, which takes place next January in Namibia. Christian Che Adam, CRTV, The Star Building.
Historical and colonial documents are being scrutinized at the Cameroon-Equatorial Guinea Border Ad Hoc Commission holding in the Equatorial-Guinean city of La Paz. Both countries have presented documents justifying their arguments and preoccupations, while experts have saluted the spirit of mutual respect and consideration governing proceedings. Our special envoy, Albert Njembonde, tells us more. From La Paz.
Day one of the proceedings chaired at the ministerial level has given way to day two, holding amongst the group of experts led by His Excellency Jean-Claude Désiré Mengele Owono, Cameroon's ambassador to Equatorial Guinea, and the Equatorial-Guinean Minister of Mines and Hydrocarbons, Domingo Mbae Sono. The Franco-German Protocol on West African Possessions, signed on December 24, 1885, and the Franco-Spanish Convention on Demarcation and Delimitation, signed on June 27, 1900, has captured the attention in the proceedings. The two historical documents carry important details expected to give clarity on the land borderline, which is estimated between 185 and 196 kilometers. Interesting to note is that the two countries operate on two different concepts of the border. If maritime border issues in Cameroon are handled by the Ministry of External Relations and land issues within the competence of the Ministry of Territorial Administration, in Equatorial Guinea, all border issues are within the competence of the Ministry of Interior. The two parties are presenting arguments to their claims. Minister Paul Atanganji, acting at the behest of President Paul Biya, has saluted the spirit in which the exchanges are going on, particularly the goodwill of the Equatorial Guinean delegation, and remains optimistic that the two parties will chart a way forward towards an effective frontier demarcation and delimitation exercise, far away from the 1984 fiasco in Ambam, where the two parties failed to agree. Albert Njembonde, Yannick Ayagma, on special assignment, La Paz.
Back home, four members of government have taken turns today before the Foreign Affairs Committee of the Senate to defend bills that fall within their area of competence. They are the Ministers of Arts and Culture, External Relations, Transport, and Interim Minister of Mines, Industries and Technological Development. Details with Amin King Edward.
The first member of government to mount the rostrum before members of the Foreign Affairs Committee of the Senate was the Minister of Arts and Culture, Bidun Quad, who presented solid argument on the bill to ratify the Beijing Treaty on Audiovisual Performances, which, according to the minister, will ameliorate the working condition of artists in Cameroon. Then came the Minister of External Relations, Lejeune Mbelembelem, to advocate for Cameroon's accession to the Convention to Combat International Terrorism.
Cameroon was already working very hard globally, participating in various conferences in terms of the fight against terrorism. It is going to be more coercive and bringing more strength to the fight against terrorism.
He was closely followed by the Minister of Transport, Jean-Ernest Masinangale Bibe, defending the bill on the establishment of the International Organization for Marine Aids to Navigation.
The document that will be presented here today will improve the importance of security in our maritime sector, protect the environment, and develop cost infrastructure.
The bill on the Lisbon Agreement on appellations of origin and geographical indications was defended by the Interim Minister of Mines, Industries and Technological Development, Fou Callistus Gentry, who detailed the potentials of the bill.
This adhesion to the Lisbon Arrangement will allow us to become worldwide. So you can imagine that just limited to 17 countries, we are selling cocoa from 1,000 to 5,000. We expect exponential increase in the value of these three products once they get accepted worldwide.
All the cabinet ministers left the Senate pretty much confident that the different bills will be adopted in the upper house of parliament.
In the meantime, new therapies and strategies to curb HIV infections with focus on long-acting drugs have been presented to the members of the Cameroon section of the International Francophone Press Union. The media practitioners, led by their president, Dr. Evelyn Menge-Akong, met with the Director General of the Chantal Biya Reference Research Center, Professor Alexis Njolo, today, in line with activities organized by the CIRCB ahead of the World AIDS Day observed on December 1. And as part of the event, for the Cameroon Month Against AIDS, the Chantal Biya Foundation has organized a free HIV screening campaign at the Chantal Biya International Research Center in Yaoundé. The two-day event comprises laboratory tests and health talks to raise awareness and promote early diagnosis of HIV in the country. Aponze Ate tells us more.
From disseminating the results of a peer-reviewed research paper to the findings of studies carried out in laboratories, the media remains a powerful tool that presents unique opportunities for researchers wanting to engage with the people, a role carried out satisfactorily by members of the Cameroon section of the International Francophone Press Union, UPF, received by Professor Alexis Njolo and his team of researchers to exchange on current scientific advances made by the reference research Research Center.
There are many good news. One of them is that the prevalence rates has went down around 2%. That is something very important to take note of. And that the therapeutic solutions are working and that they have gone even a step forward and they are thinking now of a long-lasting treatment.
Priceless direct contact with researchers which left the media practitioners led by the president, Dr. Evelyn Menge-Akun, empowered.
They have also asked us to accompany them to sensitize people living with this disease that they should not stop their treatment because sometimes there are people taking their treatment, they have to take it daily and sometimes they forget. When they do so, it becomes very complicated because there are resistances and the drugs are not effective again.
And for Professor Alexis Njolo and his crack team of researchers, among them Dr. Hubert Nanfak, unhindered access to knowledge generated through research remains critical for the well-being of Cameroonians.
Is this long-acting antiretroviral therapy that's going to be like a game changer? Because moving from taking 3 pills a day, we went to 1 pill a day, but now we're improving to 1 shot every 6 months.
Also engaged for the past days in voluntary, anonymous, and free HIV testing, the CIRCB has been drawing young people to the research center.
I am Ombede Michel, and I came here to take the HIV screening test so that I will know my HIV status. This is very important because if the results are positive, treatment will be easier and faster for the doctor.
Screening, media exchanges, and more, which should help the CIRCB play its own part in ensuring that Cameroon attains zero new infections, zero AIDS-related deaths, and zero discrimination by 2030.
That was RADA, a report on the new strategies to curb HIV infections presented to the members of the Cameroon section of the International Francophone Press Union, done by Ayim Bile. And as you heard in one of our lead stories, the new UK High Commissioner to Cameroon has expressed his commitment to ensure continuity in ongoing projects under his predecessor, as well as his desire to pursue further collaboration with the Cameroon government in the areas of agriculture and infrastructural development. His Excellency Watts Wood was speaking in Yaoundé this evening after a contact visit to the Minister of the Economy, Planning and Regional Development, Alamin Usman May. Here is Ambassador Watts with a summary of their discussions.
I'm very grateful for the chance to meet the minister and for him to receive me. I've only been here less than 2 months, and so wonderful to meet such an important minister for our collaboration. We discussed a lot of projects which we have ongoing. I'm here with some colleagues from UK Export Finance, so we're able to have quite a detailed conversation about the progress of what we have going on at the moment and indeed opportunities for the future in the infrastructure, agriculture sectors, and we're hoping to broaden into other sectors too. So I'm very excited about progressing what we have already and looking to deepen and broaden our cooperation.
Higher education students in Cameroon have been challenged to be proactive students so that they can become future job creators. The Minister of State, Minister of Higher Education and Chancellor of Academic Orders, Professor Jacques Famendongo, made the call while launching the 13th edition of Cameroon University's Forum in Yaoundé today. FOC Babatunde completes that story.
The three-day forum has brought together participants from universities across Cameroon in the fields of engineering, town planning, architecture, and transport management. This platform is designed to inspire students to formulate ambitious visions for their future and that of Cameroonian universities. The director of the National School of Public Works in Yaoundé, Professor Georges Elambunkeng, expressed optimism that the forum will shape students into professionals capable of applying the knowledge gained to drive sustainable change.
We are looking forward to training students who not only come out with diplomas or certificates, or students who will be able to exploit their knowledge for production and to be able to have this entrepreneurial spirit that will keep our economy very sustainable.
One of the participants, Joseph Bajang, was overwhelmed with the opportunity, stating that he hopes to acquire life-changing entrepreneurial skills by the end of the event.
Entrepreneurship is what Cameroon needs for our economy to be developed as we envy in other countries. So at the end of this event, I hope that all the participants will all go back home with the knowledge that everyone should think about opening some kind of business.
The Minister of State, Minister of Higher Education and Chancellor of Academic Orders, Professor Jacques Famindongo, while presiding over the event, seized the opportunity to reaffirm government's financial commitment to supporting innovative projects that demonstrate significant potential for impact.
60 officers of the 20th batch of the Yaounde International War College have concluded a two-day mission to the South region under the command of Brigadier General Nga Valet, commander of the Military Academy. The trainees visited some structural projects in the South as well as the borders with Gabon and Equatorial Guinea. Silas Nkwine reports.
This is the first stage of a mission that will also take the 60 officers of the Yaounde International War College to the very depths of the West and littoral regions. Over 26 nationalities, including a French national and 24 African countries, are involved. Lieutenant Colonel Evelyn Asamoa is a trainee from Ghana.
It is a pleasure to be here to actually have a first-hand view of how the country really is.
The visit to the Cameroon-Gabon and Cameroon-Equatorial Guinea borders in QC was an ideal opportunity for the officers under the command of Brigadier General Nga Valet to have an insight into the collaboration and cohabitation among the units of defense and security forces at the borders within the scope of exchange activities, free movement of persons and goods, and the fight against cross-border crime. A brief spell at the Mvele Hydropower Dam allowed them to appreciate the economic relevance of the structural project as well as its social and ecological impact.
We have been able to see the dam, the boundary line between Cameroon and Gabon, as well as the boundary line between Cameroon and Equatorial Guinea. Honestly, I would like to say a very big kudos to the armed forces of Cameroon.
The trainees wrapped up their study mission in Ebolova, where they visited the command post of the 11th Motorized Infantry Brigade and were entitled to a presentation of the operational, tactical, and strategic levels of command at the brigades.
In the same vein, soldiers of the 40th Firefighting Brigade have been commended for their role in helping flood victims in the Mayo Danai and the Logan and Sharon divisions of the Far North region. The commander of the 40th Firefighting Brigade, Lieutenant Colonel Patrick Njayang Jore, made the appraisal during a coordination meeting in Marwa, where they equally assessed their performance, preparedness, and safety. Sylvester Atemke tells us more.
The 40th Firefighting Brigade has been carrying out interventions in the Far North to save lives and property in many fire incidents recorded in the region, especially in the dry season. The brave and committed soldiers have also been leading operations in cases of road accidents, drowning, and promoting military-civilian relations. The year 2024 has been a tough one for the brave soldiers due to the devastating floods in the Logon and Shari and Mayo Danai divisions, further compounded by the current cholera situation in Marwa. The Marwa meeting, chaired by the commander of the 40th Firefighting Regiment, aimed at evaluating their 2024 activities, difficulties, and the way forward. Lieutenant Colonel Patrick Joyang Jowe, commander.
We were confronted with a lot of difficulties this year, especially floods. It is important that we meet and analyze our overall performance and difficulties, identify areas for improvement, and make concrete decisions to move forward and also prepare for next year.
The resolutions of the meeting will be presented in Yaounde by the commander of the 40th Firefighting Brigade during their annual evaluation meeting in December 18 and 19, 2024. Marwa, Sylvester Temking, CRTV.
Our in-depth segment of the news today delves on the availability of public toilets for a healthy environment. Some Yaounde inhabitants have voiced the need for the construction of more public toilets in more strategic neighborhoods, while suggesting that signs be put up to indicate where the few available public restrooms are found. They have also challenged citizens to be more responsible in the use of these public relief spaces. Pelsa tells us more.
For many in Yaounde, finding a clean and accessible public restroom when faced with the need to relieve oneself can be both a frustrating and embarrassing experience.
There are very limited public toilets in the city of Yaounde, even in major neighborhoods that are frequently visited. It is either the toilets are not available, or they have been abandoned for months, or they are very dirty. And imagine being in a taxi and being very uncomfortable in a taxi because you could not find a toilet. impact.
Some suggest that city dwellers need to be responsible and educate their children on proper toilet usage techniques. Nyutimbi, a teacher, believes it is pointless to construct many public toilets that will be poorly managed.
Everyone should use the toilets properly when they have access to it so that the next person can use it comfortably. We should help and educate our children on the proper use of the toilets.
Others insist that more signs should be put up to indicate locations of these relief spaces.
It should be publicized in such a way that many people should be aware. People passerby should see where there is a public toilet. The few that are there are not even enough because most of the times the occupants are so many that you cannot go there where you like.
The issue of public toilets therefore goes beyond mere scarcity. It also involves effective management and requires effort from everyone in society. Pelsa, CRTV Center.
Some Yaoundé city dwellers have equally condemned the hygiene of toilets in leisure sports, describing them as a fast means to contract infectious diseases. Helen Reading visited some leisure sports in Yaoundé and compiled the following report.
Actually, I'm not comfortable and I will never be comfortable with one.
The horrible state of toilets in some drinking spots is a call for concern as the festive season knocks at the door. Some men say they rather ease themselves at home before going out, or rather remain pressed till they'll find a comfortable place.
A lot of people have been assaulted or even harassed while using toilets in leisure sports like snacks and all other places. So whenever I get to a leisure sport, I always try to free myself, develop a good relationship with the security guard. So if I'm going out, I know at least I have someone that can assist me outside.
Women on their part prefer hidden corners to the toilet.
I feel as to ease myself. When I go to the toilet is dirty. I cannot sit there to urinate. I find somewhere where there is a hidden place, I can stand there and ease myself. Even though I'm a woman, but I cannot bend down and ease myself. I stand up the way that a woman can stand up and ease herself when some place is dirty.
These consumers are calling on the owners of these drinking spots to ameliorate the sanitation of their toilet as the festive season approaches, to avoid cases where persons will be rushed to the hospital after delectation.
Public restrooms are designed to meet a basic human need, yet many of these spaces have become neglected and misused, reflecting larger societal issues from unhygienic practices to inappropriate activities and even acts of violence. The state of our public toilets raises serious questions about collective responsibility and respect. In the following write-up, Rita Yosembong looks at how these shared spaces mirrors the values of our society.
In the north region, like in some parts of the country, most households are still void of good toilet facilities, with the few that are available often clearly poorly constructed. Chenui Elvis, a construction engineer, says to guarantee longevity, a good pit latrine should be at least 14 feet deep with at least 1.5 meters wide to avoid the risk of it collapsing. He highlights that, in addition to using quality material, particularly cement, to construct the toilet slab, it is preferable to install a Turkish toilet floor pot to avoid urine runoff, which is hazardous.
The hole in the slab should be no longer than 25 centimeters to prevent children from falling into it. And the latrine should be at least 10 to 30 meters away from any water source to prevent contamination by bacteria from the pit latrine.
The North Regional Delegate of Housing and Urban Development, Bubakari Tumba, adds that modern toilets, on the other hand, are constructed with allocations made for a septic tank and a soakaway to facilitate sewage decomposition. They have to be drained every 5 years, and in the case where the septic tank is small, every year it should be emptied. And leaving enough room for ventilation in a toilet is a key requirement, and where necessary, pipes should be used to help emit carbon dioxide. The engineers note that constructing a good toilet is important, but constantly maintaining and keeping it clean by washing with the use of detergent and disinfectants is primordial to avoid the spread of bacterial diseases like cholera and more.
That was Radai Report on the state of affairs of public toilets in the North Region, put together by Julius Niba. And we come back to this write-up by Rita Yosembo, which looks at how these shared spaces mirror the values of our society.
Just imagine that you enter a public restroom hoping for a quick relief, only to be greeted by an overwhelming sight. Toilet paper strewn across the floor, used tissues piled high, and sometimes even more disturbing, the overwhelming stench of neglect. And to think that people even relieve themselves in the wrong places, forgetting the purpose of each stall. What's even more perplexing is the refusal to flush, leaving behind not just a physical mess, but a psychological one for the next person to deal with. Moreover, there are some who exploit these public facilities for their rumpy, bumpy fantasies. While we may not delve into specifics, we can all understand that these actions reflect not just poor hygiene, but a lack of respect for the spaces that are meant to be neutral. What's even more disturbing is that public toilets have, in some cases, become places where violence occurs. There have been instances where people have been attacked, assaulted, or even killed. So what does this all mean for us as a society? I think when we treat these facilities with disrespect, it's a sign that we may be failing in our collective responsibility to uphold civility and decency. I must say that the issue is not simply about cleaning toilets. It's about cleaning our minds and attitudes. It's about recognizing that public spaces are not the domain of one individual, but they belong to a community. And when we enter these spaces, we should be thinking about the next person who will follow our footsteps. Just as we expect cleanliness, we must give it in return. And if you want to see a society that values responsibility, civility, and hygiene, it must start with how we treat even the smallest or seemingly insignificant spaces. So next time you walk into a public restroom, remember that you're not just visiting a facility. You are participating in a shared experience.
Toilets in bars are crucial for customer satisfaction, and when they are clean and well-maintained, the restrooms significantly impact the customer's perception of the establishments. The guest on the 7 p.m. is a bar manager based in Yaoundé, Bernadette Changwin. She discussed the importance of restrooms in bars with Winston Lepka.
Bar manager Bernadette Changwin, thank you for accepting to speak with us. To you, how important are toilets to public facilities like your bar?
You know, a bar is a public facility for relaxation. And the importance of toilets to these bars are because the beer we drink, alcohol, is liquid. And from time to time, you need to ease yourself so you don't accumulate excess into your system that might destroy the organism. So it's really important that we have very good toilets in public places.
What measures have you taken to ensure that customers enjoy clean toilets with water in constant supply?
We have about 10 urinals with cleaners available. The guys that does the cleaning here, they are available each minute. Each time a client visits the toilet and goes out, the cleaner goes in to clean it. And to ensure that there is constant water flow, we don't only depend on calm water. We have boreholes with constant flow, enough pressure that is used to clean this place.
Some pubs or bars have just a toilet for all the customers. What is the situation with yours?
Sure, Winston, if you see some public places and bars have just one toilet for all the customers, that's not the case with our bar, Bonanjo Snack, because we always have the service of hygiene and sanitation that comes in every month to check, either from the ministry or from the council. They are always available to control. So we make sure that we have the male and the female toilets. It is written there. And we also have the urinals for the male is 10. It means you can have 10 people and they are very clean. We also have toilets for women. We make sure we are up to standards.
To you, is it socially acceptable to ask to use the toilet of a bar without ordering anything?
To me, it's socially acceptable. We are pressed every minute and we cannot see somebody who just come from outside and say, please, can I use your restroom? And you begin to say, no, you don't want to, you don't like to, you have not ordered. No, it's not allowed. That's not cultured. So it's acceptable to use our restroom and our toilet anytime you feel free.
Bernadette Nchangwi, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me with you this evening.
On to sports, the National Federation of University Sports, FENASU, is actively sensitizing actors on the new format and stakes of the university games, which will be played in four zones, with the finals to be staged in Ebolova in 2026. An information seminar on the new format of the Zonal University Championship, CHAZU, and the national finals of the university games, FINAJU, was chaired by Director of the University of Chang, who doubles as the current president of the National Federation of University Sports, Professor Roger Chafak Nanfoso, this Tuesday, November 26. And on to this press release from the Ministry of Finance. The Minister of Finance informs taxpayers under the non-profit organization's NPO's tax scheme that in accordance with the OHADA Uniform Act on the accounting system for non-profit entities, the Directorate General of Taxes, in partnership with the national bodies responsible for accounting and taxation, has implemented new models of statistical and tax return STR specific to NPOs. These new forms are now available on the online platform of the tax administration at the following address: www.mpo.cm. To facilitate compliance with tax deadlines, the Minister of Finance invites all NPOs to submit their tax returns for the 2023 fiscal year no later than December 31, 2024 via the said platform. Furthermore, the Minister informs the public that the tax administration is actively continuing training sessions dedicated to the use of these new STR models. He strongly encourages NPOs to contact their respective tax offices for any assistance or additional information regarding the implementation of these new provisions. The Minister of Finance reaffirms his commitment to supporting taxpayers in fulfilling their tax obligations and relies on everyone's civic responsibility to ensure compliance. And that's the 7 p.m. news presented by Elizabeth Mbombone Agbor.